Hello, everyone listening to the next episode of the Mesothelioma Guide podcast. I am Devin Golden, and I would like to talk this week with Dr. Magnus Jaderberg, the Chief Medical Officer of Targovax, which is the manufacturer of a really innovative new mesothelioma treatment called Onkos 102. Dr. Jaderberg, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So we can jump right into it. I'll explain in medical terminology exactly what Onkos 102 is. It's an oncolytic, and tell me if I'm off or mispronouncing anything, oncolytic adenovirus armed with an immune-stimulating transgene. And my first question for you is, what does that mean?
Okay. Yeah, so oncolytic viruses are not that well known as yet. But actually, oncolytic viruses have been around for some time. I guess we are now at the stage where more and more data coming out. Onkos 102 is an adenovirus. It's a common cold virus. And what's really interesting about viruses is that they're able to kill cancer cells, and then so that the cancer cells become visible to the immune system. And that's the underlying principle of Onkos 102. So we inject this virus straight into the tumor. The virus will replicate selectively in the tumor. And as it does so, it will break some cancer cells. The cancer cells release the barcode for the cancer that was called the cancer antigens. And it then becomes visible to the immune system. One of the biggest challenges we have with oncology and immunotherapy is that cancers are very good at hiding from the immune system. And so what we're doing with Onkos 102, we're making the cancer visible to the immune system.
That's really interesting. So, and I've just from my research and writing about this treatment, and then you already explained this, it breaks it up and also signals to the immune system's T cells and other cancer fighting cells, like, hey, look for these markers, look for these identifiers, you know, and it's kind of like this mass swarming, and also kind of gives the immune system the tools to locate these. Like you said, they're very good at hiding. It's almost like a hide and seek. And now with, thanks to this treatment, you know, the T cells and the other cancer fighting cells are able to win that game of hide and seek a little bit easier.
It's a very good description, David. And I would say that we're merely latched on to the knowledge of the immune system that is so much better now than when I was a medical student many years ago. Because if you think about it, if you get a bacterial infection, let's say you prodded your finger on something sharp in the garden, then what happens is that there will be bacteria that will be picked up by the immune system, and certain specific T cells will be made to attack those bacteria. And we're actually doing something fairly similar, because we are injecting the virus. The virus replicates, it releases that barcode, the cancer antigen. And then there are very clever, what's called antigen presenting cells. These are sort of transport cells of the danger, let's call it. They will pick up that danger signal or the cancer antigen and go into the lymph nodes. And in the lymph nodes, there will be a production of mature, specialized T cells that will recognize that specific barcode or that cancer antigen. And the next stage, those specialized T cells will seek all the way through the system and try to find any of those cancer cells or cancer antigens that mimic the same cancer antigens that they were taught or educated to look for. They latch onto those cancer cells and kill them.
My next question is, and this has been in clinical trials, and it's been very successful in clinical trials. I think it was compared with chemotherapy. It was paired with chemotherapy, and then it was compared with patients who just received chemotherapy on their own. Is that correct? And the disease control rate was significantly higher with Onkos 102. The 1-year survival rate was significantly higher. The median survival time was, I think, 2 or 3 months improved. So it has proven to be more effective with chemotherapy compared to if you just had chemotherapy on its own? How often do patients receive the treatment? Like, what's the best way? Like, is it just like one time they receive this treatment, or do they come every week? What's the best method?
Yeah, I mean, what I would say first, and listening to your description, generous description of our data. So the data that we released in June were very positive. As you said, we could show that we had in treatment-naive patients, we had better disease control, we had longer survival, and more patients had survived at 1 year. But I should say that the numbers are too small to make any statistical calculations and say that this is always going to be seen. So that's why we're planning now a bigger trial. We're going to come back to that. Now, you also asked the question, how do we treat the patients? As I said, what we do, we take patients who have mesothelioma. We inject the virus between the ribs, straight into that lesion, into that sort of tumor lesion. And we do that at the beginning, we do it a bit more often, we do it weekly, and then on a monthly basis. And in that trial that we're talking about now, the data we mentioned, we're treating patients for up to 6 months. While in the next trial, we're planning to perform in the US and Europe, we're going to come back to that later, no doubt. We're going to treat patients for up to 1 year with the virus.
What were the goals of for the results of the trial that you concluded in June?
Yeah, so the goals were twofold primarily. Firstly, that it's safe to give the virus in combination with chemotherapy, and we show that. There's absolutely no increased incidence of minor or major side effects. So that's very important. Secondly, the goal was to show that we're able to immune activate these patients' immune system, activate the patient's immune system. Mesothelioma is a type of cancer where it's not that easy to get the immune system to recognize it and activate. And we could actually show with the data we released in June that we were very much able to activate those patients' immune system that could target and find the tumor. Thirdly, we had a sort of a secondary endpoint to look to see if there were any signals of efficacy. And I like the term signals of efficacy because to me it means that there's a trend. We hope to see a trend towards improved survival and improved tumor response in those patients who got the virus. And indeed, we did show that there was a trend towards the benefit of patients who received the virus.
We can talk about the next trial that I know we've kind of referred to it a little bit already, but the next trial would include Keytruda. And, you know, to give everyone a little bit of context who's listening, Keytruda is an immunotherapy drug, specifically it's a checkpoint inhibitor. It blocks or stifles the connection between two protein receptors, PD-1, which is on the T cells and other cancer fighting cells in the body, and PD-L1, or programmed death, which is a protein receptor on a lot of mesothelioma cells, probably other cancer cells as well. And when those two protein receptors connect, and Dr. Jederberg, let me know if I'm correct or incorrect on anything, please correct me. But when those two receptors connect, the T cells are basically blind to the danger of mesothelioma cells. And mesothelioma cells are basically able to grow and spread with kind of a mask on that hides themselves from the T cells. So that's the benefit of Keytruda. It blocks that connection and it kind of reveals the danger of mesothelioma cells to the immune system. Is that more or less accurate, would you say?
That's very accurate. And I would just remind the audience listening to us now that these checkpoint inhibitors, so I had the pleasure of helping Bristol Myers Squibb to develop the first checkpoint inhibitor called Yervoy some 9 years ago. I mean, and then we have Keytruda and a number of others have come along. They are very effective. And as we're talking about mesothelioma, it's important to know that checkpoint inhibitors are now standard of care for lung cancer. So non-small cell lung cancer is a very common type of lung cancer. So to us, it seemed the logical step to also see if mesothelioma might respond to a checkpoint inhibitor when we're adding the virus, so that right kind of T cells are produced, and in combination with that inhibitor of the checkpoint connection, we might see a better effect.
Okay.
So it's actually the first time that anyone will combine or has combined an oncolytic virus with a checkpoint inhibitor in this particular disease.
And Keytruda actually recently received approval from in the United States from the FDA for very specific cases of pleural mesothelioma, really specific cases where the expression levels of PD-L1 is so high that it would be effective. So it is even becoming, like you said, it's a standard of care for lung cancer. It's even becoming a standard of care slowly for mesothelioma. Why, from a very detailed perspective, why does the combination of ONCOS-102 and Keytruda work? Like, how would that be a next step in helping the immune system? Because obviously, as we've talked, a lot of this treatment and a lot of this adenovirus and immunotherapy treatment is just helping the immune system more effectively go after the cancer. You know, it's killing the cancer, but it's also giving the immune system the tools. So why does it make sense for this combination to do that even better versus when they're on their own?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So as I said, we've had checkpoint inhibitors on the market for close to 10 years. We've done checkpoint inhibitor research for about 25, 30 years. Why is it, or when is it, that checkpoint inhibitors don't work? And one way of answering that question is to say that if you don't have the right T cells produced, checkpoint inhibitors don't work. Because what checkpoint inhibitors do, they sort of release the brake. So the immune system has an automatic regulator that will make sure that you don't overactivate the immune system. And what the checkpoint inhibitors do is that they release that sort of break so that more immune cells can be circulating. But here's the point about ONCOS-102. If you don't have the right T cell, that specialized T cell I mentioned to you before that's produced in the lymph node, you're not going to get an effect of the checkpoint inhibitor. And that's something we know today. We didn't know that 10 years ago. We started to find out more about this 5-6 years ago. And that's sort of the basis for why Targovax, the company I work for, and are pursuing this sort of combination of an oncolytic virus, ONCOS-102, and a checkpoint inhibitor.
Does the trial only involve patients with epithelioid mesothelioma cell types, or does it also include bifasic and sarcomatoid?
It will include all histologies.
That's really important. That's because a lot of trials only include epithelioid because of the better prognosis and the better response to treatment. So that's awesome that there's no exclusion there on cell type. I know you also mentioned that this, in the past, the studies have been in Europe, and you said that this will also include locations in the United States. Do you have any locations in mind already set?
We're very excited to have Memorial Sloan Kettering, Dr. Zounder, to be the principal investigator in the US. And we will have the Mayo Clinic, and we will have a number of high profile and less high profile centers in the US, as well as, of course, centers in Europe, I mentioned, and a number of other countries in Europe. But Memorial Sloan Kettering will be sort of the lead site in the US, as this is where we have Dr. Zounder spearheading the study in the US.
Is this, what phase is the trial going to be? Is this phase one, since it's the first time you've combined these two, or does it phase two or phase three, since the treatments on their own have been so effective?
So it's a 100-patient study where we have two arms with a safety lead-in, and it's a phase two study at the moment.
Okay.
But what we've done is that we've built in interim analysis into the trial, which means that, and this is a discussion we're having at the moment with the FDA, that if we see the right kind of signal where the arm that includes the virus as well as the Keytruda and chemotherapy, does better, meaning here I'm talking about hard endpoints such as survival and progression. And if we find that in the interim analysis, we're able to then expand the trial and turn it into a registration trial. But at the moment, we call it a phase two trial. But as you know, from immune oncology, if you look at some other areas, there are a number of immune oncology studies in patients with less than 100 subjects that have actually ended up to become registration trials in terms of a conditional license, where subsequently the company has to submit more data, but the FDA will say or have said that this is good enough for you to receive a conditional license.
So that's really exciting news that this could be kind of the trial that spearheads possibly getting approval and kind of being the next standard of care treatment combination. I mean, how quickly in theory could that happen? I know you don't want to set an exact timeline, but like how many years would it take? I'm not really sure of the length of the process, especially when you're trying to enroll 100 patients.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, let me just first say then that you may be aware of the BMS data that's been released on Yervoy and Opdivo. And of course, that did show good efficacy, particularly in non-epithelioid disease. Mm-hmm. Not such good effect in epithelioid disease, unfortunately, but overall, there was still a survival benefit. And my expectation is that the FDA, as well as the European authorities, will approve that combination for mesothelioma in the next year or two.
Oh, wow.
So as you are mentioning, the next standard of care, I think the first thing that will happen is that there will be checkpoint inhibition introduced as standard of care for first line or treatment naive mesothelioma. We would, with our trial, come in somewhat after that, maybe a couple of years after that introduction. But I think that the BMS data are significant because, as I said earlier on, so far checkpoint inhibitors haven't done very well in this disease, but now the combination of two checkpoint inhibitors have shown to be highly effective in non-epithelioid disease, and so will be no doubt approved by the FDA. That's my expectation, at least.
So one more question about the study, and then I'll have a couple more questions, just general, just kind of conversation stuff about oncology and how to treat mesothelioma on like a wider range. When do you plan to start enrolling patients and begin giving the treatment to patients in this study?
I expect the first American patient to go in April, May time.
Are there challenges with the COVID-19 coronavirus, you know, as far as starting and kind of getting trials off the ground?
We've found the following. We haven't found it difficult to recruit patients. We haven't found it difficult for patients to get into hospital to be treated with our experimental treatments. But what we have found is that some US hospitals, and in fact, some in Europe as well, by the way, have said that, yeah, that's fine. We will accept the patients to come in for this experimental treatment. We'll do all the x-rays or MRIs or CTs or whatever, take blood, but we cannot let you or your contract research organization come in. So this is a long way for me to answer your question there, David, to say that I don't expect any problems in starting the trial, in recruiting the patients. But if COVID is going to continue, we may have delays in actually extracting the data and analyze the data. And that's something the entire biopharmaceutical industry is facing at the moment.
We know that, and as we've talked about, combinations of treatments seem to help in terms of survival. You mentioned the combination of Yervoy and Opdivo is possibly going to be approved. We know that like combining immunotherapy with chemotherapy and combining ONCOS 102 with chemotherapy and potentially ONCOS 102 and Keytruda. Is there any merit to the idea of maybe one of the main concerns with this idea is safety? If you do too many combinations and too many different you know therapies from different directions, that maybe the safety, that there's a higher chance for complications and safety and health. But does it make sense to combine all of these things and say, let's just put radiation, chemotherapy, immunotherapy, adenovirus all together? And just, I mean, I know that might sound like a wild suggestion, but it seems like, you know, if you just kind of combine all of them together, you're just attacking the cancer from so many different directions that, you know, there's a better chance for at least managing it. I'm not sure if that's too wild of a suggestion or if the safety issues kind of come into play there, but maybe you can have some insight.
Yeah, I mean, I think any medicine will have its sort of positive and negative effects, and we call it risk-benefit analysis, and that's something that, for example, the FDA will always look at when a company has submitted a new drug or a combination of drugs, your drug with another drug. They will perform a very thorough what's called risk-benefit analysis. In other words, they will look at what are the benefits that we get and what are the risks. And then, of course, if we're now talking about mesothelioma, which is unfortunately a highly malignant disease, mm-hmm. At diagnosis, often too late to perform surgery, then the risk-benefit ratio will be different compared to, for example, if you're going to treat, let's say, high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And so I would say in general in oncology, it is acceptable. I'm a clinician. I don't do any clinics any longer, but I was trained and I performed medicine on patients many years. But of course, in this area of oncology, it's acceptable to have a higher level of side effects than, for example, a medicine on blood pressure. Mm-hmm. Now, your other, I think, statement is absolutely right. Very much the emphasis of the current oncology research community is to combine different what we call mechanism of action medicines, and that's exactly what we're trying to do in our new trial with Merck here, because we have ONCOS-102 that's already shown in a phase one study where we only gave ONCOS-102 effect in two mesothelioma patients. We know how ONCOS-102 works in mesothelioma. We have chemotherapy that all of the listeners will know about because it's been around for 17, 18 years. And we know that works in particularly in epitheloid histologies. And we have Keytruda, a checkpoint inhibitor that's been shown to work to some extent in second line disease. And now we have the big BMS study showing that actually also in first line disease, checkpoint inhibitors do work, in particularly in non-epitheloid histologies. So as you said, I mean, it makes a lot of sense to combine these different products, the three products we're going to combine in the next trial. You did also mention radiotherapy, and I would say that, yes, by all means, at the moment, radiotherapy is primarily used for palliative reasons or to reduce the size of a tumor. If a tumor is at the size where the surgeon says, if we could only shrink that tumor a little bit, I may be able to operate on this patient. So, but radiotherapy can, of course, also be used in combination. We're not going to use radiotherapy, but we feel that these three different modalities are sufficient to address this disease. And I think I'd also like to mention that there is a very important Canadian network trial running at the moment to remind the audience, looking in first-line disease treatment, naive patients, combining Keytruda with chemotherapy in one arm, and the other arm, patients just get chemotherapy. The great thing about that big Canadian trial that we'll report for the first time at the end of next year, 2021, is that we will indeed find out if there are any side effect issues when you combine Keytruda and chemotherapy. And of course, we will also find out what the efficacy level is. How much more does that Keytruda add in terms of survival and shrinkage of the tumor when you add it to chemotherapy? So that will also be very important for us, as we will at that point have just started our trial where we combine Keytruda, chemotherapy, and the virus.
Dr. Magnus Jederberg is the chief medical officer of Targovax, which is the manufacturer of ONCOS-102, an innovative treatment for mesothelioma. And there is going to be an upcoming clinical trial that includes locations in the United States that combines ONCOS-102 and Keytruda for pleural mesothelioma patients, all cell types, all three, epithelioid, biphasic, and sarcomatoid, enrolling up to 100 patients. Dr. Magnus Jederberg, thank you so much. I'm very excited for this trial. And of course, the data that has already come out about ONCOS-102 has been so hopeful for patients. And it's been, you know, very exciting just to see the survival rates going up and the safety, you know, and the stats proving that the treatment is safe. So, you know, obviously it's really exciting, and it's really exciting to talk about this. And I just really appreciate you coming on this podcast and talking with me and talking to our listeners about it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.